Wait a minute, wait a turn, minute. On the radio. Turn on the radio. My homie got a new show and it's time to play it, though. To play it, I hope though, you right. got in tune. Got he in talking tune. Bigger
business. We are back in studio. We got Vic Pascucci, the managing partner of Lightbank Studios. Do you run Lightbank Studios too? Right. We run it all, man. We've got it all. It's a very, very well-known Chicago VC firm. You're kind of new to this, but you're not. I mean, you're right. kind of new to people who are just seeing your name publicly. But before that, you've been around and have been associated with this for a while. So for those listening, what is Lightbank?
Sure. Lightbank is a venture capital firm here in town. We focus in seed and Series A investments, and we invest primarily over three sectors: fintech, consumer, as well as vertical software.
So one question I would have for the person listening who's not in the tech community, like the person who just walked by the studio, more than I'm just guessing, I'm speculating. The straw hat gave it away. What is the difference between seed round, A round, B round for people that don't understand?
No, that's a good question. Really good question. So seed round is probably the first institutional professional money that a entrepreneur will take. Maybe we've got a prototype. Maybe we're just starting to inch to market. But that's that earliest round. And then as the letters, you start with the letters. As the letters go up, the companies tend to be more mature in their development. And the Series A, we're looking for some product traction, something actually in market, a pipeline of customers, but there's still a long way to go.
Yeah.
We like working with the entrepreneurs at the early stage. We like to roll up our sleeves. We like those entrepreneurs that are in there just grinding it out, have the grit, have the tenacity. And for us, that's the fun part.
Well, you have like a little bit of a history of doing a good job of this. This is sort of a sweet spot for you guys, not because you chose it, but it sort of chose you. What is the origin, for those that don't know, what is the origin of Lightbank, and maybe from that, why is it that that seed and early A round is like a sweet spot for you guys?
You know, it goes back to my founding partners, Brad Keywell and Eric Lefkowski. They founded Lightbank. Obviously, they've had multiple successful endeavors before then. Groupon, Mediaocean, Echo Logistics. Now they're doing Tempest and Uptake. But, I mean, they are the most successful and brilliant entrepreneurs, I think, in the Midwest.
In the Midwest, for sure.
And they're just, they love building companies. That's their thing. And, you know, when you get later stage, those companies are already built, and you're helping, and you put some guidelines. But you really, the Lightbank way is just to get in there, roll up your sleeves, do the work, and work with those entrepreneurs that are helping just building those next great companies.
The Lightbank way is to sell your company for 10, 11 figures. That's the Lightbank way.
Let's hope. Let's hope.
Well, no, and here's the thing. Like, and we've talked about this a little bit on the show before, the fact that what sort of separates the really, really good tech ecosystems and places, which Chicago is now starting to become, is the repeat founder.
Right.
And what we have been lacking, we're starting to see it. And there was a while, and I would argue still for the most part, when you're talking big time,
right.
Brad and Eric are sort of what we've got
right.
for the repeat founders who do this again and again mm-hmm. and again, 2, 3, 4 times. They right. founded, you know, companies that are valued or on their way to $1 billion.
Right.
Silicon Valley, what makes them so good is that they have multiple people who come in and sell, you know, build their company, then they sell it, and then they come back and do it again, and they do it again. And here in Chicago, I think what is so special about Lightbank and so special about Brad and Eric is that they continue to get involved in Chicago. They didn't move out of here once they had it. They kept it in here. And so there was a period of time where among us in the tech community, we looked at Lightbank and thought, that's like where we wish we could have been.
Mm-hmm.
But we always thought that like Brad and Eric had their own thing going on. There were always companies they founded, at least it seemed like.
Right.
Now you guys have a focus where I'm seeing you all over the place. I'm seeing Lightbank. I'm hearing you guys again. What is sort of the new focus versus where it was, you know, maybe right before you came in?
You know, I think the focus is been the same. What we're doing is now doubling down on what we've been most successful at. And when you compare Silicon Valley to Chicago, and I've lived in Silicon Valley for a couple of years, couldn't be happier to get back to town here.
So, are you reading my notes? That's the next thing I've got on here. So let's not get to the Bay yet.
But you know, when you look at, like, I don't think Silicon Valley does it better. They just have more scale.
Yeah.
Now, our scale here in Chicago, like there was a, it, the scale is here. We're getting those generational repeat entrepreneurs that are spawning other entrepreneurs like Brad and Eric, you know, there's, you've been to the, we've had coffee at the offices, right?
Yep.
In that building, there's 20,000 employees that at some point worked for Brad and Eric. And whether it's Brad and Eric or those other people that have worked with them, those managers, those product developers, that's the Lightbank network. And those are the people we end up funding a lot. And it's here, it's in Chicago. And, you know, there was something that came out, I think just on Friday, it may have been in Forbes, and they listed like all these entrepreneurs that became VCs. And I'm not kidding you. Of that list of the quote-unquote West Coast successful entrepreneurs, all of them had one successful billion-dollar company.
Yeah.
One. I look at my just partners.
One.
And they're at four.
Yeah.
Right?
And no, it's just, crazy.
And for whatever reason, just the national media hasn't, like shows like yours obviously yep. help. But the media hasn't caught on going, wait a second, there's this thing going on in Chicago with entrepreneurs, and you got Mike Evans from Grubhub.
You know what's funny?
Here.
I can actually pinpoint, having had this question be thrown at us numerous times, I can actually pinpoint one of the things that I think is part of that problem. And I don't want to like be mean to the media. I find myself as a part of media, but I'm more of the disruptor element of the media. I'm not really the member of the media. They won't give me a pass. And they're definitely not going to after this. But the main thing is this. I don't think they understand what they're looking at. Okay. I think that it's very easy to go Snapchat, Twitter, Facebook. Oh my God, Apple. Right. And then that's tech and that's Silicon Valley and they're all in a bunch and that's all it is. And in Chicago, they judge things based on like, oh my God, there's so many companies. There's 400 companies at 1871. There's a couple of the incubators. There's TechNexus. There's MHub. There's these things. But they don't look for the key element. And I'll tell you where one of the lights that went off in my head, and it had gone off a while ago, but it really went off last month when Al Goldstein was the speaker for a keynote for Technori. And he talked about how he's built, this is now the third company, Avant, obviously being the largest of them by a long shot. But he had the same crew with his first company, which I forget the name of. Then there was Pangea Properties. Now there's Avant. Mm-hmm. All three companies started the exact same way. In a windowless, dark, wet feeling office, even though they had money, they still went back and got the same crummy office.
Right.
And the reason that they're able to keep doing this, and I have no doubt he's going to build more, is that guys like Al get a chance to work with guys like Brad and Eric, and they decide to work together again and again, and they just recook that model. And that, to me, is when I knew Chicago's finally onto it, because we've got four or five pillars that have done this numerous times.
And I think, you know, the reason why LightBank wins and the reason why this community as a whole wins is because there's a network and there's great network effects. We've got our founders, Brad and Eric. Then we've got the probably 300 plus founders we've actually funded.
Yep.
Then we've got these employees and operators. And then there's just the connections that myself, Bill Pescatello, Rick Zullo, Eric Ong, as venture capitalists, bring to this as well. And so you're bringing in the corporates, you're bringing in other entrepreneurs, you're taking connections from the coast. And it's all just happening. I don't think there could be a more exciting time to be in the Chicago tech community. It's just, it's at an unbelievable precipice that's just going to crush it.
You're totally right. And I'll tell you, the other thing is, this is, I'm not sure that I'm getting the number absolutely factually perfect, but I believe it was 96. Last year, we made 96 millionaires in the tech community. 96 millionaires came out of Chicago Tech. The other thing that I love about, particularly about you coming back from the Bay Area to come here, is that you bring an expertise in that sort of corporate venture. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that Chicago has an abundance of, and I know, you know, that, you know how it goes. You start a community, you want to like make it your own, but you're also kind of emulating, and you got the, you know, big brother, little brother kind of complex going with New York and with the coast. And I think Chicago started to follow that like niche. We're going to build these crazy consumer apps and follow it, and left behind the fact that we have some of the best universities in the country and the biggest Fortune 500 companies, more of them than anywhere. Right. We didn't do anything about it.
We've got so much opportunity in that enterprise software spot. That's where my other partners and folks at the firm are focusing on. I focus on some of it from the financial services and fintech aspect. But the benefit, I think, what I'm trying to add to this community just to help it grow is that I've worked with so many corporations in their innovation programs, in their venture programs, and just helping the corporations understand the best way to work with startups, the best way to work with these emerging technologies. It truly is an art form. Right?
Oh, for sure.
You're bringing together probably the most diverse, contradictory worlds you could, you know, Fortune 100, Fortune 500, and scrappy startups.
Yeah.
And just getting them to understand each other. But when they come together, that's when amazing things happen and you bend the curve.
Well, listen, they don't speak the same language. For those of you listening that are maybe aren't familiar work, you know, although I will say that a lot of the corporations are working very hard to sort of bring that startup culture to their business and stuff. Cars.com is one that's working really hard on this. And you kind of brushed on it. Yeah. So do I. Mike Dwyer over there, head of talent, is amazing. We're actually going to launch a kind of a podcast with them, which would be really cool. You sort of brushed on this though. And I think it's really key. One of the main reasons that your contribution to this startup community, you and LightBank, but you in particular, is going to be really unique is I don't think that the language that our community was using was working for corporate.
Right.
I felt like even going back to 2013, I used to work with a lot of large companies. Javi Global is one of them. We tried to work with him. It was just like, man, we just don't speak the same language. Right. And what ended up happening was it wasn't even that really. They didn't trust us because why should they? And you've worked with these companies and people for so long that they can trust that you, Vic, have a good eye and that you know what you're doing. And I think ultimately what people forget is that at the end of the day, it comes down to relationships just like anything else. It doesn't matter if it's on an app or, you know, on a golf course.
You know, it's all people, and that's why I'm so bullish on this market. So if someone said, well, Vic, what do you invest in? And I'm like, I invest in carbon. So there's these carbon forms called human beings.
Yeah.
And it's the teams and it's the people we back. It's not the silicon. It's not the digits. It's not the media. It's not the software code. It's people. And Chicago has this great entrepreneurial community. And, you know, it's fantastic to be a part of it and back them. But when you take what they're doing and you help them communicate their value prop to these large corporations, and you help the entrepreneur understand the real stress and strain that these large corporations are under, that's when you start to build that bridge. And then it's great because then the startups learn about what's process and rigor and regulatory and compliance issues that these large companies are dealing with. Because eventually these startups are going to be large companies themselves. And so that's
hopefully
how you bring it together, right?
Well, so I guess I'm gonna turn this around on you and sure. ask a very Vic managing partner light bait type of question.
Okay.
How are you going to measure your own success in this case?
You know, what I'm trying to do, you know, we've set obviously goals and priorities for the firm. When I'm looking at it, you know, over the course of this fund, and you know, the fund life is supposed to be 10 years. You know, I want to see us pop at least a $1 billion company every 3 years. I want to see us getting 10 to 20 deals done a year, and understand that. And for me, I want to see us helping those same entrepreneurs again and again and again. And like, you know, we're doing seed and we're doing A. So that's as risky as you can get in venture. And we know that the odds are a lot of these companies are going to have a tough time making it. But even if they don't, I want to build up this community and understand this. You know what? These were great entrepreneurs. They took their big swing. They went after it. And maybe they just missed the market. And even though maybe they didn't hit it, we're going to back them again. I'm going to do the next thing.
Amazing. Where do the people listening submit their pitch deck to you to raise some capital?
Yeah, there's a link right on lightbank.com. I'm at vic@lightbank.com.
You just gave your email away to like 25,000 people. Do you realize that? Like, I would love Vic's giving away free coupons at Starbucks. Just email him at vic@lightbank.com. I'm kidding. There's no Starbucks freebies. Maybe. But thank you so much. This has been absolutely awesome.
It's always great. Thanks, Scott.
So great to have you in here. It's time to pay a couple bills. It's raining out, so get your umbrella. We'll be back after this.